As I was saying, all that we require for life, God has given us. Now, sitting in my office this morning, minding his business, as I was thinking about, I just like to read through notes and read scripture. And God shared with me, said, I don't want you to open with Philippians. I'm okay. Doesn't matter how long I was up doing all this, but okay. Because you ask. He said Matthew 6:19-34 in the Passion Translation. I just wrote it down. I never ask him. Well, that's not accurate. I very rarely ask him why. Because I figure if he's telling me something, he'll tell me why. But it says, don't keep hoarding for yourselves earthly treasures that can be stolen by thieves. Material wealth eventually rusts, decays, and loses its value. Everybody, or most people, probably have things in their attic, basement, or garage that at one time they thought they couldn't do without. If you can identify with that, say amen. Instead, stockpile heavenly treasures for yourselves that cannot be stolen and will never rust, decay, or lose their value. For your, listen to this, folks, for your heart will always pursue what you value as your treasure. Your heart will always pursue what you value, not what I value, and not what God values. What you value. That's why God's trying to get us to start thinking right and understanding who we are, because he wants that deep within in our heart. He wants it to be the abundance of our heart, and he wants us to talk about it everywhere we go, because we will always pursue what we value as our treasure. I didn't underline it in this Bible, but I would underline always, because no matter what we think, that's always going to happen. In any situation, in every situation, what you really value is what you'll pursue. In any relationship, what you value is what you'll pursue. And since it becomes the abundance of your heart, it's what you're going to talk about. And what's the problem with talking about it? Say that again. You have what you say. The eyes, verse 22, the eyes of your spirit allow revelation light to enter into your being. Listen to the next part. If your heart is unclouded, the light floods in. That's why when things are going good, you seem to be receiving, like you're drinking up through a straw. There's nothing hindering you. But if your eyes are focused on money, or you can put it on anything else, the light cannot penetrate and darkness takes its place. How profound will be the darkness within you if the light of truth cannot enter? If you're going around, sitting around, thinking all the time about woe is me, the light you need to let you know you've been delivered won't come in. Can't come in. It's like if we lock these doors and close them and people come, they want to come in, but they can't. Door's locked. But if we unlock the door, people can come flooding in. If there's no light, if you're not allowing light to penetrate to your heart, all you have left is darkness. All you have left is darkness. This is what he told me around 9:25 this morning. And it says, truth cannot enter. How could you worship two gods at the same time? If we're not operating in who we know we are, or I should say, if we're not operating in who we are, the problem is we don't fully know it or understand it, we're serving two masters. In fact, we're doing, what's that dance we did here, the hokey pokey? Got your left foot in, got the left foot out, got the left foot in, and you shake it all about. You do the hokey pokey. And you keep turning yourself around. Well, you keep turning around, you get dizzy. First you're turning around, then you're stumbling around. And after you stumble around, then you fall down. I've fallen and I can't get up. Why not? I can't see where to hold on to. I can't see what my anchor is because I haven't let the light in. So all I see is darkness. Close your eyes tightly, please. Now, if I said to you, keep your eyes closed and get up and walk out of the room, how many of you think you'd hit the door? Open your eyes. But that's what it's like, folks, when we refuse to believe what God said. It's like we're walking around with our eyes closed. And it seems that we bump into every obstacle that's in the way. We don't see it coming. And we're too busy thinking about not being able to see it that we're not hearing the voice of our Father telling us what to do. You don't need your sight if you have God's GPS. We did an exercise years ago when I was a youth director where I asked one young man to come up. I volunteered him. And we took a blindfold, and I put him in the back corner of the room, and I said, now just listen to my voice. And I walked him through rows. When I saw he was going to bump into something, I said, you're going to feel something, brush your left arm. Don't pay attention to it. Just keep going. And I walked him from the back of the room up to behind the pulpit. And I said, congratulations, you've made it. Open your eyes. And he was stunned. He went from the back of the room blindfolded to behind the pulpit just by listening to my voice and obeying my instructions. It's no different with all of us. I don't see myself doing that. You don't have to. It's probably better that you don't, because if you start seeing yourself do it, you put your own spin to it. Instead, let God show you. Let God tell you. How could you worship two gods at the same time? You will have to hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You can't worship the true God while enslaved to the god of money or god of other things. Anything that's trying to tempt you to go away from God is not the true God. Jesus said in verse 25, this is why I tell you to never be worried about your life. Jesus said, never be worried about your life. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand and ask who worried. You already know. But Jesus said, never worry. Never. One of the things is something young people ask me, again, when I was youth director, and I already knew the pastor's position on it. And they asked me when it would happen. I said, never worry. Never be worried about your life. For all that you need will be provided. Ta-da. All that you need will be provided. All that you need has already been provided. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to be its savior and to rescue it. So all that we need has been provided. Someone sings a song, he's already provided. We need to operate in that. This is why I tell you to never be worried about your life. For all that you need will be provided, such as food, water, clothing, everything your body needs. Father, please heal my knee. Please heal my leg. Please heal my arm. Take care of my back problems. Father, my neck is hurting. I got a headache. All that you need, all that your body needs, he has provided. So what do I have to do? Walk in it. That's all. What if it hurts? Walk through it. Right now, at this moment, at this very moment, it feels like someone took a rod, heated it to white hot, and shoved it down my shoulder. Right now, that's what it feels like. And my body wants to go, ugh. All I require for life, he has given me, and I know who I am. All I know is I was like this, now I'm like this. And then I'm going to be like this. Then I'm going to be like this. Then I'm going to be dancing all over the place. But I can't mope around. Father, I'm your child, like he doesn't know that. Never be worried about your life, for all that you need will be provided, such as food, water, clothing, everything your body needs. Isn't there more to your life than a meal? Isn't your body more than clothing? Isn't your life in Christ worth more than a nice apartment, house, car, neighborhood? Now think about it. We're a chosen generation called forth to show his excellence. Where? We all stay here in the Warwick Room showing each other God's excellence? No, he's going to send you out, and I'll tell you something. If anybody have been in the military here, wave at me. Did you get to choose where you were going once you left boot camp? You received orders. They didn't even ask you. They told our son, you're going to Afghanistan. They didn't say, would you like to go to Afghanistan? Just gave him a nice brochure. You know, and they said, you're going to Afghanistan. When one of our young men was at West Point, after we had a couple go to West Point, they weren't asked to do things. I'm sure, Deacon, sir, you got calls. When... You talk about hazing, they didn't ask you. Our son went to Afghanistan a second time. They didn't ask him if he wanted to go back. They told them, you're going back. And they also said something else to him, which amazed me, but I guess they were just trying to do their job. They said, we know you didn't lose any men the first time you went, but that's not going to happen this time, so you're going to have to get ready and understand that everyone you go over there with, you're not coming back with. He said, but Psalm 91 still works. And he didn't, the only men he lost were Afghan nationals who didn't listen. Afghan nationals who said, you Americans are so afraid. You do everything according to procedure. And that their orders were to stay low and wait. Said, you're just afraid. And they got up and ran. And as soon as they got up, our son called his CO and said, I'm about to lose my first two men. And then he heard an explosion because they ran into a field, stepped on line, a landmine. Done. Look at the birds. Do you think they worry about their existence? I left home the other day, pulled out onto First Street, covered with blackbirds. Both sides of the street looked like the ground was moving. It had been raining, and I guess worms came up to the top, so they were there feeding. None of them did anything to make it rain. They didn't receive a bulletin, come to the buffet. They didn't care about the cars, the trucks, the buses, or the people. They just, both sides. Cars came down, they'd wait till the last minute. They're Canadian geese on the property. I'm trying to get out, and they're honk, honk. They're just walking, minding their business because they don't care. They already know, touch me and organizations will be all over you. I believe they're actually people with binoculars looking in the windows, looking out their windows, making sure you don't do anything to the geese. I remember once I was going down Long Island Expressway, and a pigeon flew right at me. And I'm not sorry, but I'm not swerving. And I thought it was going to move off. It didn't. Cracked the windshield. Immediately, horns started blowing all around me. And I'm looking, and people are raising their fingers and all this stuff and yelling at me like I was trying to hit a bird. But the birds don't care. All they know is somebody's providing their food, and so they're going where they're supposed to be, and they're feasting. They don't plant. They don't store up food. Yet your Heavenly Father provides them each with food. Aren't you much more valuable to your Father than they are? So which of you, by worrying, could add anything to your life? I know what you can add to your life by worrying. That's right, high blood pressure, stress, anxiety, heart attack, indigestion, obesity. Bad teeth are because you're going to eat junk food. But Father provides them each with food. Aren't you much more valuable to your Father than they are? So which of you by worrying could add anything to your life? You could shorten your life. That's what you can add to your life, brevity. And why would you worry about your clothing? Look at the beautiful flowers on the field. They don't work or toil. And yet not even Solomon in all of his splendor was robed in beauty more than one of these. So if God has clothed the meadow with hay, which is here for such a short time and then dried up and burned, won't he provide for you the clothes you need, even though you live with such little faith? Even though we live with such little faith, God still provides for us. So being of mindset of little faith or not enough faith or whatever you want, however you want to couch it, is not even enough to cause God to stop from providing for you. When you're not believing, he's providing. Even in your unbelief, he's distributing. So then forsake your worries. Forsake your worries. Why would you say, what will we eat or what will we drink or what will we wear? Verse 32. That is what the unbelievers chase after. So why is a believer chasing after things? I'm going to say something that's going to sound hard, but it's the truth and it has to be said. Unbelievers don't chase after those things. So if you're chasing after them, guess what? You're not a believer. Believers believe what God has said. Too many folks that should be believers are believing what circumstances say. Doesn't your Heavenly Father already know the things your body requires? So above all, what does that mean? What does it mean? Is there anything more important? Constantly, what does that mean? Constantly chase after the realm of God's kingdom and a righteousness that proceeds from him. Then all these less important things will be given to you abundantly. Everything that you are not doing, that's causing you to not do, that's your excuse for not doing what God called you to do, will be added to you abundantly if you just did what he said. You're wasting all of that energy trying to get something that Father has freely provided for you and wants you to enjoy the benefits of. But to do that, you're going to have to forsake worries and worrying. The doctor gave you an evil report. Is that what it said? It said, this is an evil report. No, they shared information. Would you rather not have the information? They share information. All that's required for life, God has given you. So he gave information. Thank you for the information. Now, Father, what's your plan for what they said? And you do what he says. Well, I should say you continue doing what he says. You continue. That's why some, remember the lepers, they were healed as they went. Not, okay, as soon as it manifests, I'll go. Think about something that God has repeatedly told you to do or that he wanted you to do. And then think about the reasons why you haven't done it. Knowing that God has already given you all that you require, you should go get out and leave here today and start doing it. Because there isn't a reason that anyone can think of that will cause God to say, oh, I understand. I didn't think of that. We're talking about God. We're talking about the one who, before you were formed in your mother's womb, knew all about you. Before we saw the light of day, he had holy plans for us. Says a prophet to the nations. So even then in that state, he is preparing us to share his word. He was preparing us to go forth and show his excellence. Matthew 6:34. Refuse to worry about tomorrow. That scripture tells me that worry is going to show up. And it's telling me what to do when it shows up. Refuse to worry. Notice it doesn't even mention yesterday. But deal with each challenge that comes your way one day at a time. That takes care of yesterday. It doesn't say deal with each challenge that came your way. Not talking past tense. So what you didn't do yesterday is over. All right, God, what do you want me to do now? Because Jesus' instructions are to deal with each challenge that comes your way one day at a time. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Yesterday is gone. 2023, gone. It's history now. Now we're in 2024. What is God saying to you? Notice when you start hearing different prophecies that people have received, it's never the same thing. And by that I mean one person, he didn't receive a prophecy for 2020, and then the same thing for 2021, and the same thing for 2022. Everything that was prophesied for 2020 didn't come to pass. But those folks that he told it to, that they shouldn't be walking around worried, I didn't get it done, I didn't get it done. You're in a new year now. Father, I know you told me to do this, I didn't do it, I repent. What's the plan for this for now? And you keep going. And we have to get a phrase out of our head, as soon as I get, I'll go. You'll never get. But here's the interesting thing, though. In a lot of cases, you've already gotten and used it for something else. Your refrigerator went out. So you need a new refrigerator. Father, I need the money. The devil took my money. No, you went shopping. God knew when you went out and spent all that money on clothes or other things, God knew your refrigerator was going to go out. So he put money. When you think about it, enough money has passed through our hands to do a lot of things. But what didn't we do? Father, what do you want me to do with this seed you just provided for me? And whatever he tells you to do, do. You tell him there's a nice sale. there's a quote I've been believing for. He may say, go get it. Or he may say, do something else with it. But the key is you ask your Lord what it is he wants you to do, because he is your Lord. He gave me this while I was sitting in the office. I have 9 pages of notes that I finished. I stopped at 3 o'clock this morning and completed it when I first came into the office the first 15 minutes. Then he changed it. I don't know when I'm going to share the other notes, but he just told me, that's right, Minister Honey, when he tells me to. For those listening, don't think ill of the pastor. Minister Honey is my wife. But then sitting at my desk, I've already sent the scriptures for the day to the tech team. They already have it in place. And I'm sitting at my desk, and God's saying, Matthew, read Matthew 6. And he had me keep going back. And I said, all right, well, where do you want me to begin? It's verse 19. Didn't give me, all he said was, read the scripture. He didn't give me any commentary about it. But he knows I'm going to say what I hear him say to me. So all I did was share the scriptures and then share what I hear him saying about it, because he knows where we are and what we need. So then forsake your worries. Why would you say, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? For that is what the unbelievers chase after. Doesn't your Holy Father, your Heavenly Father, already know the things your bodies require? So above all, chase after the realm of God's kingdom and the righteousness that proceeds from him. Then all these less important things will be given to you abundantly. Refuse to worry about tomorrow, but deal with each challenge that comes your way one day at a time. Tomorrow will take care of itself. So we shouldn't even plan what we're doing tomorrow. Unless God says to you, tomorrow I want you to get up and do whatever. Other than that, when you get up, Father, all right, this is the day that you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. What is thou bidding? If you want to say, Lord, usually I do this and do this and do this and do this. And when you say that, you're going to hear laughter. Because the Bible says you want to make God laugh, tell him your plans. Go to the supermarket. I have to go by the school. No, this is what you're going to do. Well, can't I do that tomorrow? Tomorrow will take care of itself. Well, yesterday, yes to who? Yesterday is gone. It's now part of your past. And I had the Apostle Paul tell you, this one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind, I press towards the mark of the prize, the high calling of God that's in Christ Jesus. I press toward it, refusing to worry. In Philippians 3, just share a little bit from beginning with verse 4 in the Passion Translation. The Apostle Paul said that I once relied on all that I had become. I had a reason to boast and impress people for my accomplishments more than others, for my pedigree was impeccable. I was born a true Hebrew of the heritage of Israel as the son of a Jewish man from the tribe of Benjamin. I was circumcised 8 days after my birth and was raised in the strict tradition of Orthodox Judaism, living a separated and devout life as a Pharisee. And concerning the righteousness of the Torah, no one surpassed me. I was without a peer. Furthermore, as a fiery defender of the truth, I persecuted the Messianic believers with religious zeal. Yet all the accomplishments that I once took credit for, I've now forsaken them and regarded as all nothing compared to the delight of experiencing Jesus as my Lord. In verse 9, he said, my passion is to be consumed with him and not clinging to my own righteousness based in keeping the written law. My righteousness will be based on the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, the very righteousness that comes from God. And then 12 and 13. I admit I haven't yet acquired the absolute fullness that I'm pursuing. So that's fine. You know you're not there yet. That's fine. Are you pursuing it? I haven't yet acquired the absolute fullness of that I'm pursuing, but I run with passion into his abundance so that I may reach the purpose that Jesus Christ has called me to fulfill and wants me to discover. See, we're going around looking, wanting someone to tell us what we're supposed to do. Jesus is saying, I want you to discover it. Discover it. It's going to unfold as you're doing the things. Little. Build a conference room. That's not really a menial thing, wasn't it? It was a major thing to me, not knowing anything about construction. But all that I needed to get it done, I acquired as I went about doing it. And then I discovered some things. Verse 13. I don't, listen to this one carefully or read it closely. I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. I don't depend on my own, what I know, my own knowledge to accomplish this. I don't depend on my own wisdom to accomplish this. I don't depend on my own finances to accomplish this. However, I do have one compelling focus. I forget all of the past as I fasten my heart to the future instead. I forget all of my past, the good, the bad, and the ugly, all of it. And I fasten my heart to what God promised me. That's how you can turn away from your past. Pastor Sarah used a great, I think it's in the Analogy Hall of Fame. She said, you have to vision a trapeze artist. They're swinging 3-4 stories high, no net, no foam, no group of people going like this. And they have to be successful, they have to swing out, looking forward, letting go, turning around, and reaching out. That's what they have to do, knowing that that other trapeze is going to be there. They can't go get halfway there and say, I wonder, I know I'm supposed to let go, but maybe I'll just grab one hand and see it in there, and in between two going like this, and they're really in trouble. Or they mistime it, and they fall. Father, I thought you would protect me. He does. You have to follow the instructions. You have to stay in the protection zone. What's the protection zone? His will. If he says stay in the room, stay in the room. If it's pouring rain outside, he says stay in. You stay in. If you want to go out, whatever's going to affect the rain will have on you, it'll have. To God, why'd you let this happen? You all know that joke about I sent two boats in a helicopter. We fall victim to that too many times. I'm going to share a verse in Hebrews, and then I'm going to let you go. Because I wind up giving you two messages. Message Bible. No, I'm sorry. It's not Hebrews. It's Romans. No, it's Philippians. For real, it's Philippians. In the People's New Testament, which is really a concordance. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can rise superior to every condition through the strength that Christ gives. So it doesn't matter. Again, we started out singing, we are a chosen generation called forth to show his excellence. All I require for life God has given me, and I know who I am. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I can rise superior to every condition through the strength that Christ gives me. I have to believe that. You have to believe that. Because that's what's going to get you through. That's what's going to make it able for you to show God's excellence. Doing things that everyone knows in your own strength, there's no way you'd ever be able to do it. No way. But all you require for life, God has given you, and you know who you are. Turn to someone and say, I know who I am. Tell the other person, I know who I am. Tell the person behind you. All that requires, that's required for life, God has given you. So we have everything we need. Now the two of the things that we needed and have, we need to exercise. Obedience is one. The other one is the song Pastor Clinton wrote. All you need is a little more faith and grace. All you need is a master on the case. He's on the case. He knows. He's given you faith. He's given you the grace. His mercies are new every morning. New every morning. And great is his faithfulness. Stand up and give God some praise. Father, we thank you. We give you alone all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Oh, Father, you are good. Your mercy endures forever. You supply, you supply. Even though if we might shut the supply door, you still supply. All we have to do is reopen it and partake of all that you have given us. Thank you, Father, for giving us all that we need. And thank you for giving us the revelation as to who we are. So we know that all we require for life you have given us, and we know who we are. We know what we have. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated.